Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 8 it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So there's been an emphasis, and we've preached on the grace of God, but it's not just about grace. There's another big part to being saved, and that is faith. Because notice he says that we're saved by grace through faith. We're saved through faith. Say this with me. Say, "I'm saved through faith." All right, so faith is important. It's a big part of being saved. Being saved is not just contingent upon Jesus and the grace that comes to us through him. It's also contingent upon our faith. Because it's through faith that we receive the grace of God. And we don't just receive the grace of God, but we keep the grace of God. We hold on to the grace of God. We've got to hold on to God's grace. Because we can fall from grace. The Bible tells us that over in Galatians 5, verse 4. And this is just a review. Galatians 5, 4, it says, "You have become estranged from Christ." Another translation says, "severed." Severed. You have become severed from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. So these are believers, the church at Galatia. They were connected to the Lord. They had been saved and had become one with the Lord, but now they are severed from him, and they have fallen from the grace that saved them. They have fallen from it. Why? Because they are seeking now to be justified by the law or by their works. In other words, they've gotten out of faith. So because they didn't continue in faith, now they're severed. They're cut off from him. They have fallen from the grace of God. So we must continue in faith in order to continue in grace, that we might continue to be saved. Now, you know, this series, we've been in it for a while, and we need to be in it for a while, because so much of the body of Christ for so long have been so indoctrinated into thinking that once saved, always saved. But that's just not so. And the Bible teaches that repeatedly. Like I've said before, I can go through every book of the New Testament. Every book of the New Testament. And we can see warnings about not continuing in the faith and actually losing the salvation, or really leaving the salvation, or getting severed from the salvation that we once had. He warns us about this over in Jude. Go with me to Jude. Lots we can cover here in Jude. Lots of warnings to the church, to believers, because we need to be warned. I love God's warnings. I appreciate it. You know, I mean, I wouldn't want to be in an aircraft that didn't have any warning lights. Would you? Would you want to get into a plane and the pilot has no warning lights and nothing to warn him if there's trouble on that aircraft? No. I mean, I appreciate the warning lights. You know, I remember when my brother was a new pilot and we went up flying in his plane, and we were flying along, and it was a new experience for me, being in this little, you know, I'm used to commercial planes, you know. We're in this little go-kart. We're way up here, you know. All of a sudden, you know, it just felt like the whole bottom dropped out of the plane. You know, I'm sitting in the back. It just felt like the whole bottom just dropped out of the plane. And then I look up to the front and I see a red light blinking. And I thought, so I look at him. He doesn't seem perturbed or anything. You know, he's just flying along. So I'm looking at the red light, looking at him. That red light's blinking, you know. So I reach up to him. I tap my shoulder. I say, "This red light blinking." You know, he's got his headset on. I said, "This red light." He goes, "Yeah, yeah, it's okay." And it was, I think it was the radio. I think there was something with the radio. But, you know, I see red lights blinking on planes and warning, 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 right? Just wanted to be a good co-pilot and let him know, you know. Praise God. Wouldn't want to get to heaven and say, "Lord, why am I here prematurely?" He says, "Well, you didn't tell your brother. The red light was blinking. Why didn't you help him with that?" Don't want that to happen. Thank God for warnings. We can make adjustments and keep ourselves on track. So we want to continue to be saved. We want to continue to be saved. We see it right here in Jude, right here, chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord having saved," everybody say "having saved." See, it's purposely using that word "saved" because it's in connection to, when you put it in its context, it's in connection to the grace of God, being saved by grace. You could just go back and see that in the previous verses, actually the verse in verse 4. He says, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago are marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice that they turn the grace of God into licentiousness. That means they teach a reckless salvation, where once saved, always saved. Doesn't matter how you live. There's really no warnings. He said they've done this to the grace of God. They've turned it into licentiousness. They've made the church reckless concerning salvation. Lawless concerning salvation. We're not to be lawless. We're not under the law. And people that emphasize grace many times and don't understand faith, they'll talk a lot about we're not under the law. And they end up just removing the law from the people's lives. They just want to remove the law. But we're not under the law, but we do understand we're not lawless. We're not without law. Now, through Christ, we have the law written and the commandments written on our heart. We're now one with the law. We're one with the lawgiver. So we're not apart and severed from the law through the New Testament. Now we're one with the lawgiver himself. And we understand the law. We can walk in the law because we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the law, living on the inside of us. So we're no longer following the letter of the law, but we are yielding to the Spirit of the law, which is the Spirit of God. And so that's why he says in verse 5, "But I want to remind you, church, though you once knew this, that the Lord having saved," remember, we're saved by grace. See, he's talking about grace. Saved by grace. "I want to remind you now, New Testament church, that the Lord having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." Destroyed. He doesn't just say kill. Remember, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So there's something that goes beyond kill. And that's destroy. Killing refers to the body, the death of the body. Destroying is total destruction, total annihilation of who you are as a spirit being. So he's saying here, they were saved, but then afterwards were destroyed. So we don't want to have the attitude that, "Oh, I've got grace." Yeah, you've got grace, and you better hang tight onto that grace. How? Through faith. What do you mean? Keep yourself strong in faith. Don't be lax about your salvation. Don't become slack. That's a dangerous place to be on the battlefield of life, because we're at war. There are enemies of our soul. There are demon spirits that want to destroy us. They want to destroy us. And we don't want to have this attitude, well, once in, I'm in. No, we want to keep our shield of faith up and be sure we quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. He goes on, gives an illustration here. He says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own habitation. Now, people know the angels were holy, holy, holy. Huh? They were holy, holy beings, these angels that he's talking about here. Incredible. They were full of the glory of God, full of the life of God. God was all over these angels. And he says, now, remember the angels. They were saved, right? They had grace, which is what? The glory of God freely bestowed upon them. They had glory all over them, because that's what grace is. It's God, his manifested awesomeness, his goodness, freely bestowed upon our life, freely bestowed upon us. Man, it was all over these angels, wasn't it? Come on, they walked in tremendous glory, tremendous grace. He says, the angels do not keep their proper domain, but left their own habitation. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So again, he's warning us that we don't want to think that because we were saved, that automatically means we're forever saved. We want to continue in being saved. And we do that by continuing in our faith in the grace of God. Notice over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. How clear is that? Yes, praise God, you have believed the gospel that I preach, and you are saved. If. See, that if part has kind of fallen off in the teaching of the Word of God. It has fallen off in much of the church world. It's just not there. And I believe God is stirring leaders up all over the world now. This word has to go forth. So the church gets out of this deception of thinking that everything's just great and okay regardless of how I talk, how I walk, how I believe. We have to make sure we're believing right. We have to make sure that we are trusting in God, that our faith is in him, and it's not drifting back over into our works where, well, I go to church, I'm saved. Isn't that, you know, and that, doesn't that mean I'm saved because I'm here at church? No. No, people can backslide right in the house of God. People become religious in the house of God. But I sing songs about Jesus, and I have a daily devotion that I read about Jesus, about the Word of God. Well, that's great. But are you living the faith? Are you living that, not just reading about it, hearing teachings on it, are you living the faith? And that's what we need to check up on ourselves constantly about. That's what we talked about last week over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 5, where he says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Not whether you know about the faith, believe in the faith, heard of the faith, talk the faith, but are you in the faith? Are you in the faith? So in other words, we need to know what faith looks like then, don't we? And we need to know what doubt and unbelief looks like. And a lot of folks don't know what doubt and unbelief look like, and they yield to it all the time. But if they knew that what they were yielding to is doubt and unbelief, that their behavior, that their talk, that their reactions to things was unbelief, and they understood that unbelief can get you severed from Christ and cause you to fall from grace, then I think a lot of folks will jump on those attitudes really quick. I know I do. I don't let bad attitudes stick around, man. I don't let bad attitudes stick around. I don't let negative thinking stick around. I don't entertain a bunch of evil thoughts. I don't let ungodliness into my house. I'm not entertained by it on my television set. Well, I fear God. I fear God because I understand that I'm saved through my faith in His grace. And things full of ungodliness is only going to feed my flesh and hurt my faith. I don't want to do anything to hurt my faith. Come saved through it. I'm saved through it. I'm going to heaven through my faith. I'm not going to hell, thank God, through my faith. I don't want to go to hell. Do you want to go to hell? No. So we got to watch. We got to watch. Remember, faith works by love. Faith works by love. So if we get out of love, that's a dangerous place to be. Why? Because our faith won't work. Huh. Well, that's one step away from falling from grace. Yeah, that's why Jesus said, if you don't forgive, neither will you be forgiven. And you don't want to go into eternity with unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart. Right? Because like we talked about last week, a bitterness can be a root that gets in your heart and defiles you, undermines your faith. And by it, many become defiled. So you see, we want to make sure that our faith is sharp, our faith is strong. And so we get on all kinds of unlovely attitudes and actions, all unlovely behavior. And I'm going to make sure I'm not addicted to anything. I'm going to make sure I'm not depending on anything other than Him. In other words, I'm trusting in Him because that's faith. Faith trusts in Him. So I'm going to trust in Him for everything. And I don't want any kind of thing in my life that I need to have this. I need to have this. Oh, I can't live without that. That's dangerous stuff because those are all areas of your life where you're not trusting in and leaning on Him. You're leaning on other things. So we got to get those fixed. And in getting those fixed, you get more free. You get liberated from those things because crutches only rob you. Rob you from running and enjoying life. Live in the freedom that God has for you. So this thing you think, I have to have that. That's my joy and peace. No, we need to get rid of that. So He can become more of your joy and peace. Oh, and in His presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Stop depending on the little things of this world for joy, which always have a cost attached to it. And there's always a hidden cost. It's going to cost you. It's going to rob from you ultimately. It'll give you a thrill, but then after a while, it's going to be, well, you're going to want to take a pill. Because that's what the devil's thrill will do for you. Oh, we want to get out from dependent. Oh, in Him, there's no sorrow added to all the joyful things that God brings into your life. So we want to lean and rely on Him in every area of our life. So we're constantly checking up on ourselves, examining ourselves, making sure, am I in the faith? Am I in the faith? I want to continue in the faith. Over in Acts 14:22, remember, the apostles went around strengthening the souls of the disciples. Verse 22, Acts 14:22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. In other words, don't get discouraged because you're going through tribulation and say, I don't understand, I'm saved. Why is this happening to me? It's through many tribulations that you're going to enter the kingdom of God. So don't get offended at God. Don't get bitter at God. Don't get mad at God. Because you're experiencing trials in your life. I don't care how long of a trial they are. You can't afford to get bitter and offended at God. Are you listening to me? Come on, God's wanting to strengthen your soul this morning. Having me exhort you to continue in the faith. Everybody say, continue in the faith. Yeah, Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to go through some of these scriptures. There's lots of them on continuing in the faith. Try to put some of them here together so that by seeing them all together like this, and this isn't all of them. I didn't do an exhaustive study on this. I mean, I have, but they're not here. You're not going to get that this morning. But you are going to get a bunch of scriptures on continuing the faith together so that you really see the seriousness of it and how consistent it is throughout the Word of God. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. Colossians 1, 22, it says, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. There's that if again. If you continue in the faith, then what's going to happen? He's going to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before the Father. Jesus is. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. He says, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. They've shipwrecked their faith. What does that mean? That means it ain't sailing anymore. That means it's sunk. It's sunk. How would you like your faith to be sunk? That's the same as falling, isn't it? Falling to the bottom of the sea, falling from grace. They shipwrecked their faith. Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Wow. These were Christians. Worked with Paul, the apostle. Helped build churches. Now they've been delivered to Satan. Serious stuff. Why? Because they didn't continue in the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15, talking about women in the church. It says, nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. There's it again. There's the warning. If they continue in faith. Now, folks get off on all kinds of ditches. People that are unstable concerning the Word of God. They don't rightly divide God's word. And so there are some groups out there that they feel like, well, if their women have enough children, they'll be saved. So they're banging out babies all the time. You don't get saved by child. He didn't say you get saved by childbearing. He said in childbearing. In other words, in life. In life, as mothers raising children, they'll be saved if they continue in the faith. It's their faith in the grace of God, not in having a lot of children. But it's not just for these women, it's for us all. Continue in the faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Somebody say, I'm saved. I'm going to stay saved. Now, how are you going to do that? You're going to continue in the faith, and what else? In love, holiness, with self-control. That's exactly how we're going to continue saved. Praise God. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Notice that these are folks that were in the faith, but they have now what? They've departed. Now, they didn't, when they got saved, they didn't think that they were going to depart someday from the faith. Nobody does. Nobody gets saved thinking, you know, I'm going to do this for about 5 years, then I'm going to depart from the faith. Nobody does that. But it happens as thoughts and feelings come at people, and over time, they become dull. And I believe it starts like Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, it starts with a drifting away, a drifting. They begin to drift away from the Lord. There's also scripture that says turning away from him who called us. Turning away. You had turned away, but now something else is getting your attention, and it's turning you further and further away from him, to the point where now people are departing from the faith. It's not something anybody plans on doing, and I believe there's a lot of folks that depart from the faith. They don't even know they departed. I believe there's a lot of Christians in hell today that departed from the faith that didn't know they departed from the faith until they got to hell. I know that's strong language, but it's the Bible. It's the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. He says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Can a believer be worse than an unbeliever? Huh? Yeah. If what? If he doesn't walk in the love of God. If he doesn't take care of his own, doesn't take care of his own household, doesn't care about anybody but himself. I mean, it's bad enough when we just care about our own family. Us four, no more. Right? We just care about our own family. That's pretty bad. And we're not reaching out outside the four walls of our house to be a blessing, to care about the church and to care about other believers and help the body of Christ and see to it that other people are getting saved and we're supporting other people and so forth that are out there serving in the ministry. It's bad enough when people are just isolated and they just care about their own family. But when someone doesn't even care enough about their own family to take care of them, he says, they're worse than an unbeliever. And their acts, through their selfish actions, they have what? Denied the faith. Oh, they might show up on church and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And even read scripture and serve as a deacon or a deacon in the church. But nevertheless, they've denied the faith through the way they live their life. And that's important to watch out for. In verse 12 of 1 Timothy 5, it says, but refuse the younger widows. This is talking about bringing financial support, how to distribute financial support to those in the church, those in need. He says, refuse the younger widows. Well, they need help. They need finances. Refuse the younger widows. For when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation, because they have what? Cast off their first faith. Cast off their first faith. See, now it's all about being married, and I don't want to be alone, and I want to be married, and I want to have a wife. That's dangerous. It's dangerous. I was invited to a Bible study years ago, and there's a group of ladies, and there was the one lady was coming to our church, and she had some friends that I did not know, and we got to talking, and she just went through a vicious divorce, and now she was divorced, and she was very bitter, and we were sitting there talking, and somehow it came up about, you know, being alone and things, and I talked about Jesus, God, his presence, and he'll be with you. His grace will abound in your life. Trying to get their eyes on Jesus. He's your joy. He's your peace. He's your support. He's the one you look to and trust in for everything in life. Well, I went on for a little bit about that, and she just lashed out. And she said, I need a man. I need flesh and blood. I need something I can touch. So the lady that I knew that was having the Bible, she just ran over there and hugged her and said, it's going to be all right. And she just started comforting her right away. I thought, wow. I need someone to do. It's dangerous. And she looked bitter. That's dangerous territory to be in. This life is a vapor, friend. I said, this life is a vapor. Don't be severed from him so that you can be connected and attached to flesh and blood. Thank God for relationships and good marriages, and God cares about those things, but that's only to be an overflow of your divine connection, your connection with God, You're being filled with his love. You're not a half of a human. Where's your other half? The spouse isn't to be your other half. When she's not around, you're just a half a sandwich. You're a half of a human being. You're half existing. You got half a life. No, friend. Another human being doesn't complete you. Jesus completes you. God has made you complete already in Christ Jesus. Why don't you rise up in faith in the grace of God and begin to declare, I am complete in him. I am not alone. The Father is with me. Thank you very much. Now, devil, you're lonely. You're isolated in darkness. You're self-centered. All you can think about is yourself. And you're going into perdition. Eternal damnation and destruction. That's pretty lonely. Just you and the flames. You and the flickering flames. But I'm complete in Christ. Somebody say, Jesus completes me. Hallelujah. This Bible says we're complete in him, who is the head of all principality and powers. We're complete in him. And he who began a good work is faithful to what? Complete it. What does this all mean? If we're complete, what does he have to complete? He has to complete the process of helping you to see how complete you are in him. Because we don't see how complete we are. But we're growing in faith. We're growing in faith in how complete we are in him. And therefore, we're going to be content with such things that we have. Hallelujah. Because he himself said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And we got peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Come on. But look what happened here. They're widows. And now I was married. I can't function. I can't function without being married. No, that's a dangerous place to be. You can function through faith. Through faith in Jesus. All right, now notice this. So it says, refuse the younger widows, for they have begun to grow wanton against Christ. They desire to marry, having condemnation, because they've cast off their first faith. Verse 15 says, concerning these women in the church, it says, for some have already turned aside after Satan. They've turned aside to Satan. Now, they don't know that they did that, but they did. They've grown wanton against Christ, and they've turned aside after Satan. Now, that doesn't mean they have pentagrams in their tent. It doesn't mean they're sacrificing goats. No. But they've turned aside after Satan by the way they're living and being dependent upon themselves and the things of the flesh. It's a very dangerous place to be. 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 10. It says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wow. How many folks have been guilty of that in the body of Christ? They have strayed from the faith in their greediness. In their greediness. Greedy. Greedy. I need money. I need money. I need money. I can't tithe. I can't give. I can't do it. I need. You're greedy. No, I don't have enough. No, you're greedy. You're greedy. Everybody can tithe. Tithing helps us. It protects us. I just wanted to let you know. Tithing is your defense. Not just from the destroyer, from ripping you off and stealing things from you, but it's your defense from the devil robbing you of your faith in the grace of God. Tithing is for your defense. It's for your protection. A lot of folks don't understand that. Everybody can tithe. No, you understand. No, no, no. If you just get $10, you can still give a dollar. If you get $20, you can still give $2. Because a tithe is a tenth. It's a tenth of your income. You can give $2 out of your $20. Don't tell me you can't tithe. You get $30, you can give $3. You could do that. You get $300, you can give $30. You can give $30. Well, I got. You can give $30. You're greedy. You're greedy. And your faith is in trouble. And I'm just telling you, these things are hazardous to our faith. And to allow them to continue in our life, leave this doubt, let this doubt and unbelief continue in our life, is a very dangerous place to be. It's a very dangerous place to be. We got to protect our faith and make sure we're growing in faith, not dwindling in faith, withering in faith. Can you say amen? So you got to watch out for money. Don't get so money-minded. Some people are so money-minded, so worried about money, so worried about money. Stop worrying about money. They're so worried about money that when the pastor talks about money in the church, they get even more worried. They get upset. That upsets them. Why? Because they know in the context, talking about giving. They don't want to give it. They're greedy. Dangerous place to be. You don't want to be that person. Turn to someone and say, you don't want to be that person. No, don't do that. Say to them, I don't want to be that person. Tell them. I don't want to cause any strife among the brethren. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 18, he's talking about some folks that were saved. They were leaders in the body of Christ back in Paul's day. And now he says in verse 18, who have strayed concerning the truth. There's that straying again. Remember, the love of money has caused people to stray from the faith. Here they have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. So there's folks that have faith, but their faith can be overthrown. That's why you got to watch what you're listening to. You got to watch who you hang out with. You don't want your faith to be overthrown. But it can be, can't it? Do you see that? Yeah. See, folks whose faith have been overthrown will have a tendency to overthrow your faith by the things they say, by the way they act, by what they justify in their lives. They'll begin to teach you things, begin to share with you things that they say is okay, because it's okay for them, because their faith is overthrown. They've already departed from the faith. They've strayed. They're off track. And being off track, what do? They pull everybody else in their life off track with them. So when people get off track, wave goodbye. Wave goodbye. Why? Because you're better than them? No. Because you're going to protect yourself so you don't end up like them. Because you understand how vulnerable you are. You don't hang out with them. You don't party with them. You don't associate with them. I'm trying to win them back. They'll win you before you win them. Because the Bible says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. It doesn't say good habits refine evil company. Does that say that? It says evil company corrupts good habits. So you got to watch the company you keep. Just because they were something doesn't mean they are something. Because you even know about yourself, just because you were something doesn't mean you are something. This is a daily examination. Just because you looked good physically yesterday before you went to bed doesn't mean when you got up this morning you look as good. Right? You needed to go back to the mirror. And you needed to fix some things. Isn't that amazing? Just a few hours of sleep. And look at all you had to fix. Right? Just naturally speaking, look at everything you had to fix in just a few hours after going to sleep. What do you think's happening to your faith after a few hours of being in here and being around doubt and unbelief? Huh? Being around ungodliness. People preaching everything to you. Human wisdom. Human dependency. Dependency upon humans. Lust. Perversion. It's preaching to you. Preaching to you. What do you think's happening? You don't think that messes you up at all? You don't think that's doing anything to your faith? You don't think you need to go back in the mirror and clean yourself up a little bit? Huh? You don't think so? Yeah, see, we abide in him. This is all through the word, so we shouldn't be ignorant of this. But we are. Why? Because men have turned the grace of God into licentiousness. This isn't a new thing. This is something that has been going on since the beginning of the church. We see it all the way back here in the early church. People departing from the faith, liars coming in, deceiving people, drawing disciples away, overthrowing their faith. We see it all through the word of God. It's nothing new. So, but there's been adequate warning. But again, we've allowed in our day today, we've allowed church leaders to leave these truths out that are all throughout the Word of God so that we don't understand it. That's why we need to study the Word for ourselves and not just say, Pastor Stephen said. Huh? Brother so-and-so said. Reverend so-and-so said. That's great. Did you study the Word and find out whether these things are true or not? Or did you study the Word and make sure you've got the balance of that teaching? Huh? Because there's always a balance to these things. Because again, here, I'm talking about, you know, faith, but there's another side to this. It's grace, which is interesting. I'm teaching parallel with this message on Sunday. On Wednesday, I'm preaching on the glory of God, which is all about the grace of God in our lives. So there's a parallel, but I don't come on Wednesday nights. I'm too busy. Good. You get half. You get half the man. You go through your day like something like that spiritually. See how far you're going to get doing that. Then your leg's going to get worn out. Next thing, you won't even be walking at all by faith. Won't even be walking by faith at all. But you're too busy. I understand you're busy. I understand that. You got to get the money. You got to take care of this. You got to take care of this. I understand that. You don't have to take care of your faith. That's not as important as getting your house cleaned up. Right? You got company coming over. I mean, company's more important than your faith. You know, that company you're having come over, they aren't saved. They don't even want anything to do with God and the church. But it's important to take care of them. Friend, we got to get a seriousness about us. And we got to really wake up. And that's what this message is all about, wake up time. And I'm not going to preach along these lines forever. So get it while you can. Get it while you can. Because I don't know, I mean, next week, couple weeks from now, I might be just talking about love. Jesus is love, and he loves you. And, you know, and then if you're not watchful, you'll let all this thing fall by the wayside. You'll just let it slide away from you. But you got to make sure you don't let it get away from you. You got to hang on to it. You got to study it out yourself. This is what God's saying to you this week. Get into prayer. Talk to God about it. Lord, show me. I see that in the scriptures. I need to examine my faith. Help me. How do I do this? Find out. Study it out. Don't let these things slip from your mind, slip from your heart. Satan comes immediately to steal it. Once you have received it, he comes to get it. Don't let him take your faith away from you. You're responsible for you. I can only do what I can do for you. But you're responsible for you, fully responsible for yourself. So you got to guard yourself. You got to guard your faith. Protect it. Praise God forever. Get the balance. Get in the house of God. Receive the teaching you're supposed to be getting. Get the whole balance. Okay? Boy, that was dull. That was dull. Well, I'm just not ready to commit to that. Okay. That's your, I'm doing my thing. You know, your blood, not on my, they're not there. Not on my hands. Clean hands. I'm doing my part. But I really would like you to come on over. Get everything you can get. While the getting's good. While the getting's good. And it's good. This is good. This is good stuff. Thank God. It's the Word. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You got to protect our faith. Guard it so it can't be overthrown. 2 Timothy 4:7. Remember he said, Paul the Apostle. Let this be the testimony of all of us, man, at the end of our days here on earth. There's an end of our days here on earth. We're not here forever. 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I kept the faith. That's how I know I finished. I know I've kept myself in faith. I've examined myself. I've kept the faith. See, it's not automatic. Faith isn't going to be automatic. You got to keep it. Keep it. Keep it all the way to the end. I think that's why some of these great faith people that have gone on to be with the Lord, you know, some of them, they were ready to go on, you know, because the longer you live down here, the longer you got to keep the faith. The longer you got to protect your faith from being overthrown. The more you got to fight the good fight. You never retire from this faith fight. You never retire. And so you might retire from business. You might retire from ministry. You might, you know, be coasting in natural things. You can never coast spiritually. You can never retire spiritually. It's a fight all the way to the end. I said it's a fight all the way to the end. There's no retirement. It's war all the way to, you're waging war all the way to the end. So I just think some of these guys, they get to the point, it's like, I'm done. You know, I'm ready to go to heaven. Because we like talk, I'm going to live long and strong. I'm going to have a long life. I'm going to live to 120, 140. I'm just going to live. Well, when you understand you're in a battle and there's a fight, you might say, you know what? Maybe I'll go on home a little sooner because home ain't that bad. Huh? Home ain't that bad. Nobody's trying to steal your faith in at home. I'm talking about the home of heaven. I'm not talking about your home. I'm talking about heaven, praise God. Thank God nobody's going to be trying to steal your faith there. Whoo, glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ as son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope, where, how long? Firm to the end. To the end. It's not over until it's over. Until we bury you. So, don't allow yourself to lose your rejoicing. I don't feel much like rejoicing because you've lost your confidence. No, I'm confident. No, you've lost your confidence. No, I don't like it. No, you've lost your confidence. Examine your faith. Here's how you can examine it. Check up on your rejoicer. How's your rejoicer doing? I didn't say how's Joyce doing. Doesn't matter how Joyce is doing. How's your rejoicer doing? Everybody wants to talk about Joyce. No. Your salvation is dependent on Joyce. It's dependent on how you rejoice. You guys are getting so pumped, I could tell you. This message is blessing everybody across the board. It's going deep. It's going deep. I've stopped preaching. Have I stopped preaching the Bible? No. Is it convicting? Is that what I'm looking at? Do I see conviction? That's okay. Praise God. That's good. Are you going to respond to the conviction positively? Oh, then rejoice. 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 Hallelujah. Conviction's good. Getting sobered up is really good. A little sniffing salt this morning. Every once in a while, I come out with the sniffing salt. Spirit of God gives it to me. He doubled the dosage on me. So, ooh. It can be an alarming awakening, can it? But whoo, wouldn't we want to have that rather than just stay slumbering and sleeping in deception? Drifting off to la-la land where we lose it all. We trade it all in for some goofy thing in the flesh. Can't let it happen. Got to fight the good fight of faith. Praise God. Thank God we can. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. He didn't just stop with saying, I've written these things to you. I've given you the New Testament that you might know that you have eternal life. And who did he write these things to? He said right here, he said, to you who believe. To you who believe. So this is written to believers. To you who believe. I've written to you who believe that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe, that you may continue to have eternal life. Because that eternal life is because you believed. And so we have to continue to believe. Somebody say, I'm continuing in the faith. Hallelujah! Come on, let's stand on our feet. That's worth rejoicing about, that you're going to continue.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.